This is the Soundcheck Podcast. I'm John Schaefer. You know this song, one of Adele's huge global hits, Someone Like You. Now, one of the striking things about this song is it's just Adele and a pianist. That pianist is Dan Wilson, who wrote the song with Adele. Dan also co-wrote the Dixie Chicks' best-selling song, Not Ready to Make Nice. As well as Treacherous with Taylor Swift. This slope is treacherous. This path is regular. You and I with John Legend. Ain't nobody in the world but you and I. And of course, the big hit Closing Time for his own band, Semisonic. Now, Dan Wilson has gathered up some of his best songs and covered them himself on an album called Recovered. And he's here in our studio today, along with pianist Brad Gordon, to play some of those songs, beginning with Closing Time.
Two, three, four. Closing Time. Open all the doors and let you out into the world. Closing time. Turn all of the lights on over every boy and every girl. Closing time. One last call for alcohol, so finish your whiskey or beer. Closing time. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. I know who I want to take me home. I know.
I hope you have found a friend. Closing time. Every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end. Yeah. I know. Thank you. time for you to go out to the places you will be from. I know who I want to take me home. I know who I want to take me home. I know. Take me home. Closing time. Every new beginning comes from some other beginning's
That is Dan Wilson singing and playing the guitar with Brad Gordon at our piano, and the big hit from his band Semisonic called Closing Time, recovered. Dan Wilson on his latest record. Dan, it's good to have you back here.
I'm glad to be back. Thank you.
That song, you know, has become kind of a part of our common culture. I mean, that's saying so. There are big hit songs, but then there are songs that kind of seep out of the music world and into the popular culture in general, and this seems to have done that.
Yeah, it sort of stands for something, or it's people have found so many uses for it.
Yeah.
And it's become kind of a, it can be a punchline of a joke, or it can be something very kind of meaningful and touching for people. It's very interesting how kind of all purpose it has been.
And sometimes at the same time, if you put your headphones on for a second, I want to play a clip for you from the hit TV series The Office, which I'm sure you have heard and seen many times, in which this song plays an important role.
Closing time, every new beginning.
I never heard that song before, and once I heard it, I did not care for it. But that song means it's time to go home. Now, it's my favorite song.
Every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so sullen old Stanley from The Office finds himself...
His deadpan face. When I saw him say that about the song, I was falling out of my chair laughing. I felt so good.
He did not like it at first. But there's so much about the song. People talk about, as you just did, you know, the fact that it kind of has a meaning of something closing, you know, every new beginning, some other beginnings. And for me, the curious thing about that song has always been the odd construction, the places you will be from.
Yeah, yeah.
Was that just you needed something that rhymed with, you know, I mean, no native English speaker would ever put those words in that order.
It's funny because partway through writing it, I made this realization. At that time, my wife and I were expecting our first kid. And when I was writing the song, about halfway through writing it, I got this kind of realization that it could almost be about being born.
Mm.
And then when I realized that all the lines sounded like puns about birth or leaving the hospital or, you know, this room won't be open until your brothers or your sisters come, you know, and going out to the place you will be from is like being born into your town, like you're getting born and you're in Minneapolis where I'm from. That was me just partly just playing a game. And then people puzzled over it for years and years, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't really need to explain it at the time because it felt good as a bar time song, too.
So by this point, we're still in the 90s when you'd written this.
Yeah.
You'd written dozens of songs for the band, and this one goes on to become a huge hit.
Yeah.
Did you learn something as a songwriter from that experience?
Well, one big thing I learned, and this is not repeatable, or maybe it is, I wrote it so quickly. I wrote it in like 25 minutes. And then I wrote the bridge when the band was making the demo. I just quickly wrote that instrumental bridge because it needed something else. And I wrote it so fast, I didn't even think about it. And then our A&R guy said, the second verse, it's all too repetitive. You need one line that's different. And so I took 10 seconds and wrote that line, gather up your jackets, move it to the exits. That's the one line that doesn't follow the pattern.
Mm.
And it was all done in such a flash that one thing I learned is that I hardly take credit for how good it is. It just happened to me.
Right.
I didn't do it. I was writing so many songs. I was in the flow. And this song happened to me, and that was interesting.
And then you would go on to become a kind of songwriter's songwriter. Mm. You know, the list of people you've written with and for is a pretty formidable list at this point.
Yeah.
Is writing for someone else a different experience from writing for you, for your own band?
In a way, it is. You know, by the time I started writing with lots of people, I had already been really super served by the world. You know, I had hits, I'd played for tens of thousands of people, I had done all the things that I might have put on my checklist, you know. And when it came to writing with other people for their own purposes, it was kind of fun for me to visualize writing something that would give them the opportunity to have those crazy experiences, like help them make their dreams come true. I didn't feel left out. It was like, oh, here's another angle on this whole thing I can take. I can help someone else do something really, you know, superb.
How did you go down that road as, you know, for hire songwriter?
So many things have to add up by happenstance. I put out the word that I wanted to write with other people for them. Because it wasn't really a thing yet for the musos that I knew, but I just had this sense that it was a thing that I could do. And really, by amazing universe-generated chance, my second co-writing session was with Carol King, who was my musical hero.
Mm-hmm.
And all of my team, everybody, my management, everybody knew that I loved her. And it just happened that she was on the phone with my publisher when he was talking to me and blah, blah, blah. It was just like a chance meeting. And we got together. I was so nervous. I was just beset, you know. And she put me at ease in a way that was almost like teaching me how to put someone at ease while they were putting you at ease. It was so, she's such a master, and it was a master class, and it taught me a huge amount in a short time.
Yeah. Have you seen Beautiful, the Broadway
musical? Not yet,
musical?
I want to see that though.
I mean, I'm not a huge Broadway musical fan usually, but I did go, and I, you know, I told my wife, yeah, I'll probably leave at intermission. I called her at intermission and said, I'm actually staying.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
I mean, the story of her life and career and the songs that just kind of flowed from her. Yeah.
So many. And I, you know, that's obviously that's a standard that most of us just can't hold yourself to. But she was a huge inspiration for me. And that kind of led me on that path of like, okay, now I've seen how it's done to just like try to shepherd some process and help somebody get their vision out and help somebody make something great.
Well, and if you look at the list of songs on the album on Recovered, and the people that you've worked with on, it's Leanne Rimes, it's Josh Groban, it's Mike Doty, formerly of Soul Coughing. I mean, to see those three names all together is one guy wrote all of these. So do you have to put on your country music hat for this person, your indie rocker hat for that person?
Not exactly. One reason is that when I write songs, I usually write with very few tools, you know, just a piano and acoustic guitar, whatever the person brings to the session. But when I'm writing a song, there's not a lot of stylistic indications. There's not a drum beat that's distinctive. There's no samples. There's no orchestration of any kind, you know. So when I'm writing, it's almost like just the abstract, simple essence of the song is happening. And when you get down to that simplicity or that kind of bare bones quality, you might be writing a country song, but you don't know it. You might be writing a rock song or something that could work as a chorus for a hip hop song. You're just down there in the notes and the words. And that's where I like to go with people. Even when I wrote with Nas, we just had a piano and I just played riffs on the piano or vibes on the piano until he said, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
and then he would put, you know, the words to that.
Well, and of course, he is from a musical family where the musical roots are in jazz and avant-garde jazz, but also in Delta blues.
Yep.
So, you know, the idea that if you sit down with Nas, it's got to be a hip-hop song.
No,
He'll make it a hip-hop
That's
song.
That's his thing he's going to do. Yeah, he knows how to do that. So I don't need to do that for him. You know, who would I be to try to provide that in a session?
Yeah. We're speaking with Dan Wilson, whose album Recovered reclaims a lot of the songs he's written with and for other people. The one you're going to do for us next, Your Misfortune, you wrote this for Mike Doty.
Wrote it with Mike for Hottie Melodic.
So this is post-Soul Coughing. This is one of his solo records.
Correct.
What was that process like?
Mike and I got together at my place in Minneapolis. I was living in Minneapolis at the time. and he had a bunch of songs in various states of finish. I'd love to talk to him about this because I'm pretty sure this one was at least half done. I think I helped a lot, but I don't think I think it was already very much conceived, and we just found a way to make it convincing. But we just did it on a couch and a chair in my living room in that very abstract kind of way. And in the end, the recording is pretty simple too. I love the song partly because Mike has a kind of tough sounding voice. You know, it's very rock and roll when he sings. Yeah. And the song is really reassuring and kind of warm. And I always feel like that combination, it's like when Rihanna sings a really reassuring song or a loving song, she's a tough guy, you know? So when she sings a reassuring song, it's almost more moving because it's like someone who has to like reassure you, and also they're kind of a strong character themselves. And that's Mike's voice. Like, to me, it's like a strong, tough sounding voice, you know?
Well, let's hear you reclaim it.
Okay, all right, cool.
Dan Wilson with Brad Gordon here in the Soundcheck studio. The song is called Your Misfortune.
When your faith in life is gone, come and speak to me. When you're down, seek my sympathy. When everybody says no, 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 well, it's your misfortune and none of my own. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Well, it's your misfortune that sweetens my song. I can be the friend you want, I can be your confidant, I can be the right reminder at the right time, throwing out the lifeline. Stand in the light, stand in the light, stand in the light. Stand in the light, stand in the light, stand in the light. When your face is caked with mud, come and speak to me. When the chill creeps in your blood, seek my sympathy. When everybody says no, 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 well, it's your misfortune and none of my own. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Well, it's your misfortune that sweetens my song. I can be the air you drink, be every single thought you think. I can be the right notion in the meantime, warm you like the sunshine. Stand in the light, stand in the light, stand in the light. Stand in the light, stand in the light, stand in the light. Stand in the light, stand in the light, stand in the light. Stand in the light, stand in the light, stand in the light.
Your Misfortune is the name of the song from Dan Wilson, singing and playing the guitar, Brad Gordon on piano and keyboard. The song appears on Dan's latest album called Recovered. He originally wrote that with Mike Doty, formerly of Soul Coughing. And you were mentioning Carole King before, and, you know, that whole Brill Building crowd in the 60s, all those songwriters sitting in their offices churning out songs, it really brings up the kind of distinction between art and craft.
Yeah.
You know, songwriting is a craft,
yeah,
but if you do it well enough, it sort of transcends being mere craft and it becomes something bigger.
You can make that leap. I think it's interesting that My take on that is partly this, that quite often the first song that someone writes, maybe they're 12 or 13, they write a song and they just nail it because it's all instinct. Mm-hmm. And it's a great song. And then they spend 10 years trying to write something that good again because suddenly they start to know too much and they're self-conscious and they can't capture that exact same inspiration that they, or the intuitiveness, you know. But during those 10 years, you learn some of the kind of lore of songwriting and the craft and the kind of the ways to get yourself out of a jam, you know, art school related ways to get inspiration when you think you don't have any, tricks to trick yourself into freeing your mind, you know. You learn those things, and then it's almost like that craftiness can just lift you back up to a place where it's a possibility to hit the inspiration again. Mm. Like, I write a lot of songs, and they're not all good. You know, some are really good, but a lot are medium, and then there's the others, you know, so.
We shall not speak of the others.
We shall not, play them, that's for sure. Brad and I don't know them. But, you know, it's that's part of the craft, too, just being in it so that when you're inspired, you're ready to roll.
Right. So the late composer John Cage would toss the I Ching, you know, the Chinese hexagrams. Mm. Brian Eno with his oblique strategies, sets of cards that had little sayings.
Advice.
On.
Yeah.
What was your strategy?
It's interesting you mentioned the Eno thing because that deck of cards, the oblique strategies, was a big part of my kind of awakening as an artist once I figured out, first of all, that when people talk about craft, it seems kind of cynical and kind of like, you know, gross in a way. Like, oh, you're moving our heartstrings with this sort of like technical method that you learned. But Eno's oblique strategies have, you know, you pick a card from the top of the deck and it says, leave the building. And you say to everyone, I guess Eno's telling us to leave the building. And then you go out and get a beer. Or you turn it over and it says, accentuate the unimportant. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay, maybe that means we have to turn up the shaker percussion and turn down the drums. You know, you need to find sources of even randomness in your life. And once I kind of realized that, you know, part of it is a quest for like shaking it up and not being in a rut. You know, that was my thing.
My favorite of the oblique strategy cards is the one that says, honor your error as a hidden intention.
Yes, right. Note is potentially really great.
Yeah.
So don't fix it.
Have you ever done that?
Oh, many times.
Yeah.
Brad and I do it every night.
So when you do come to a kind of collaborative songwriting process, there are tools you're going to bring to any songwriting activity, but then sometimes you have very targeted, very specific kind of focuses that you need to be aware of. Mm-hmm. When you came to work with the Dixie Chicks, it wasn't just, oh, here are three great voices that I can write for. It's like, there's a whole welter of political maelstrom swirling around these people, and how are we going to deal with this? So that must have been, you know, there must have been additional layers of mishigas, you know, to use a good New York City word.
I like that word. Yes, in one way, but I have to say, when you're writing a song, to have a purpose is very, very essential. It's like deeply essential. Like for me, I wrote Closing Time because my bandmates, John and Jacob, really wanted a different song to end our shows with. Mm-hmm. That was really like, it was so purposeful. I just need a new song to finish our gigs. And it freed my mind to, you know, it wasn't about my ego. I'm gonna do something to express my soul. And I ended up expressing my soul. And the same with any writing session, if you have a purpose, if a friend of yours is getting married, what a great opportunity to write a song that goes beyond your own ego. And with the Dixie Chicks, they had had all that controversy with the Bush administration because they had criticized the invasion of Iraq.
Right.
And I felt that they could use a song that addressed the experience that they were having. I didn't think that they and I would be the great team to write an actually political song. I didn't think that I was going to bring that to the party, really. But I felt like we could talk about something that kind of encapsulated what it was like to be in their strange position in the world right then and there. And that's what we did with Not Ready to Make Nice, I think.
So it wasn't, you know, there's no mention of Bush or Iraq, but there's mentions of people teaching their kids to hate a stranger and stuff like that, which takes a topical song and makes it more universal.
I think so.
So it's now, you are not the Dixie Chicks. Mm-hmm. This is not 2002.
Yeah.
But you still perform this song, and do you find yourself leaving out a verse, or does it all still work?
To me, it all still works. And I was talking to a friend recently about, basically he was saying, so interesting that Not Ready to Make Nice feels like a relevant song to sing right now.
Yeah.
And I said, I just don't know if that's ever going to really go away. We're not out to fix the world. We're not out to make everything perfect and get everyone just to chill out. You know, there's always going to be conflict. There's always going to be like an effort to make things better. That's what we're trying to do, is love each other and make the world better in whatever way we think is right. And so there's always going to be like trouble. And so a song like Not Ready to Make Nice, it's not like we're here to wipe out the purposes of that song. We're here to address them.
Mm-hmm.
But that kind of a song is always going to be sort of needed in some way.
Well, let's hear your version of it with Brad at the piano. Dan Wilson, the album's called Recovered. It's out now. This song is called Not Ready to Make Nice.
Sounds good. Forget. I'm not sure I could. They say time heals everything. Well, I'm still waiting. I'm through with doubt. There's nothing left for me. Figure out, I paid my price, and I'll keep paying. I'm not ready to make nice, I'm not ready to back down. I'm still mad as hell, and I don't have time to go round and round and round. It's too late to make it right. I probably wouldn't if I could, 'cause I'm mad as hell, can't bring myself to do what it is you think I should. I know you said, can't you just get over it? It turned my whole world around, and I kinda like it. And I sleep like a baby with no regrets, and I don't mind saying it's a sad, sad story when your mother will teach her daughter that she ought to hate a perfect stranger. And how can the things that I said send somebody so over the edge that they'd write me a letter saying that I better shut up and sing or my life will be over? They say time heals everything. Well, I'm still waiting.
Dan Wilson and Brad Gordon live in our studio with the song Not Ready to Make Nice. Huge hit for the Dixie Chicks. Dan wrote the song with them. Oh, gosh, this could be 10 years ago now, right? Something like that. And, you know, the great thing about songs is you put them out in the world, you can't control how people are going to interpret them. Mm-hmm. And to anyone who's not listening closely to the lyrics in the last verse, it sounds like a breakup song.
It kind of does,
yeah. The chorus, the beginning and the end, you know, it could easily just be a kind of acidic end of the relationship kind of song.
My take on it also is that it's almost addressed to a friend who's trying to get you to chill out about something. It's a friend who's saying, can you just drop it and just be happy? Just drop it, be happy, go back to your life. Why do you have to hang on to this? And in the song, I'm saying, I can't let go of it. I'm still mad, you know? Like, and I think that's very universal in a way.
Absolutely. So we began, Dan, with Adele's recording of the song you guys wrote together called Someone Like You. That was the demo, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was just a demo.
It was just supposed to be a demo of you playing the piano and her singing so that they could do the full-on Adele treatment to it.
Yeah.
And that became the massive hit.
Yeah.
So what do you do when when you reclaim that song? There's nothing to strip down. You have to add in.
Well, it's funny because during that process of making Adele's record, we had written several songs together and that ended up on the album. And there were several versions of Someone Like You that they tried. And one was real sort of like an R&B ballad type thing. And then they finally went back to the demo. And when I was doing Recovered, my producer, Mike Viola, and I tried one version that almost you could say was like my version of an R&B ballad of Someone Like You, and it just didn't feel right. And then by a series of chances, I was hanging out with the Kronos Quartet, and we were talking about, we got to do something together. We have to do something special. What can we do? And when I went home, I sort of slapped my forehead. I was like, oh, I know. Maybe the Kronoses will play a version of Someone Like You with me. And that will, then I won't be copying the Adele song. Mm-hmm. I won't be like trying to do an Adele imitation. I'll just be taking it into a new space. Yeah. And they really helped me to do that.
Well, and you know, I don't know how much time you've spent with the Kronos Quartet over the years, but the answer is usually yes from them.
They are the collaborative.
They will do anything.
Yeah, and they want to. They're like me, they're trying to be eclectic because they're trying to bring their flavor into as many different settings as possible.
Yeah.
And I think I'm the same way.
Who did the arrangement?
The arrangement on our Someone Like You for Recovered was done by Jacob Slichter, who's the drummer from Semisonic.
Oh.
Jake also happens to be a killer string arranger. And you know, you can only have so many flags to wave in this life, but he's so good at it. And he's done a whole bunch of arranging for me. And it's just sort of, he doesn't even really do it for other people that much.
Yeah.
It's just when I call him and say, hey, can you do strings for this? He says, yeah. And then he does these beautiful things.
It really is beautiful.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's what we're going to use to wrap things up with. The album is called Recovered. It is out now. Dan Wilson, Brad Gordon, thanks, guys, for coming in and playing for us.
Wow, really, really, really a pleasure.
This is Soundcheck.
Who would have known how bittersweet this would take? Never mind, I'll find someone like you. I wish nothing but the best for you too. Don't forget me, I beg. I remember you said sometimes it lasts in love, but sometimes it hurts instead.
That's all for this Soundcheck podcast. Check out soundcheck.org for other performances, in-studio videos, gig alerts, weekly music roundups, and more. Our technical director is Irene Trudell, who also engineered this session. Light production work provided by the New Sound staff, Karen Havlick. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks for being with us.
Sometimes it lasts in love, but sometimes it hurts instead. Yeah.